Welcome to Hope Central's latest podcast. Please check out our website, hopecentral.org.au, after this message for any further information. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for an amazing today, but I pray, God, that this is about you. I pray that our hearts will reveal just a desire to get to know you more, to praise and honor you. God, we pray that you are the center of today, the foundation. We pray that if there's people here who are distracted or fractured from things that are happening in their world, that there will be peace and clarity, that there'll be an open mind to hear from your word. God, we pray that if there's people who are sick, that they will be healed in Jesus' name. That you, Father, you through your Son Jesus, make us whole. And I pray that we respond to you in a full, engaged, heart, soul, mind, strength way. That it's not me, but it's you, Holy Spirit, that you work in the people to provide an opportunity that people will come and be whole with you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'd like to start, first of all, with a scripture. All right, let's get used to this. Okay, Philippians 2, 1:11. Now, guys, if you have a Bible app or even preferably a Bible, please follow along. I didn't put the scriptures up, but only references. I really want to encourage you to really dig deep into your word. Bring the word to church. Now, I know that with your apps, it's just a swipe away to Instagram at backwater underscore beat or Derek McClure. But please make sure that bring your word. Bring the word. The word is important. Let's read it out. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, that's Paul, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm going to read this, the rest of it. This is really cool. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is who we respond to. What I want to do, though, is I want to actually have a look at one thing that I'm sure that we don't always talk about. Something that we, as church members, sometimes take for granted, or if you've ever been a visitor to a church, or if you're a visitor today, wonder why we do certain things. And what I want to do is actually talk about why do we sing? Why do we sing? Church 101, why do we sing? Why do we sing in church? A number of years ago, quite a few years ago, a friend of mine, Rowan, asked me to play bass at his church, Salvation Army Church. And the idea was to encourage other musicians and to train them up so that I would be obsolete. So I would train up people to replace me. But it was one of these first services where he asked me to sit back and he said, look, Derek, this is your first time at my church. I just want to get an idea of what you think is going on. I want to hear your observations, your opinion about our church from an outsider perspective. And I said, yeah, sure thing. I know what's going on. I've been in church for ages. I know what's going on. Anyway, the Salvation Army it was a special event, and they had a lot of people getting and interacting and doing a lot of events and a lot of items. And the first person got up, and they start doing a song And I thought, this is really cool. This is just like church. So at the end, I literally thought it was amazing. I started clapping. And my friends were laughing and laughing and crying. They were hiding their faces. They thought it was the best thing ever to see my reaction to someone who doesn't obviously get a clap for whatever it was they were doing. So I thought, okay, this is not a clappy church. I'm just going to sit back and relax. So the next person gets up. Could have been a bunch of ladies banging on some tambourines with skin on it. I don't know. If you've ever been to the Salvos, you know, that'll make sense. If you haven't, it's probably a time to check out if you see that. But they started, anyway, whoever came up next started doing some item. And I thought, No clap. And I sat there and all of a sudden the whole place lifted in applause. Woo! Clapping and everything. And for the rest of the service, I was confused. I didn't know whether to clap. My friends kept on going like this. And I was lost. I just didn't know what was going on, why it worked. And I know there's a lot of things that we do here, particularly if you're fairly new, that kind of just happens. We haven't really talked about it or explained some of the things we do. And I know singing is one of them. There are other things as well, but I'm only going to just focus on one aspect today. And the thing is, I know people question this. People say, why? Why do we sing? There is literally no other opportunity or place as a person that I go and sing at. I come to church and it's like, I've got to sing again. Whereas it's actually quite untrue. There's a German philosopher who's really cool. This is what he looked like. He had many odd wrinkles. German philosopher Immanuel Kant wrote that if music confers no survival advantage, where does it come from? Why does it work? He's acknowledging there's something about it, but he's also asking the question of, if we do it, but why? Why? I don't get it. And as a guy, I get it. Sometimes when I first started coming to church, I just didn't understand why we're singing. But it's curious to note that in our culture, we actually love to sing. Now, I know you don't believe me. I see the doubts. I see the skepticism. I see the, I don't believe you. But let me show you a few situations. I've got three different situations in which we as a culture, Australian cultures, gather together and sing. And the first one I want to talk about is events. Now, this may look familiar. It doesn't look familiar to me. If you do approach me and have a sport conversation, I will nod, but you'll see the sweat. I just don't know. I'll say something like, what a ludicrous display or something. IT crowd. I had to explain it, so it's not funny anymore. But people, when they celebrate a win, sporting events, even the beginning, they sing the national anthem, is something that we do together. If you know the words of the song or you know your team passionately, you are just singing that out with all of your heart and all your soul. There's another, Christmas carols. Every time we gather together at the end of the year, there's carols. We love bringing the family and we gather together in a beautiful location and we build out these carols every year. We do it as a part of our culture. There's also rock concerts. I went to U2 recently and I was singing along the songs with U2, pretending I was, I wasn't actually pretending I was Adam Clayton because he's Tin Man, he doesn't have any expression. But I was just sitting there going, oh, these songs are so good. And I'm singing with thousands of people with me. And then when I see people afterwards, it's like, oh, U2, how about, what about? And there's this, no spoiler alert, but some kind of connection. We sing it together culturally. And what about birthdays? Whenever there's a birthday, Joe, whenever there's a birthday, we sing happy birthday. We're going to sing happy birthday afterwards. That is something that we do together. It's something that we bring ourselves together and sing. And there's actually a lot of evidence, research into this idea of why we sing. I want to actually point out a few things, and I'm really conscious of time. I have so much to do, and I did reduce this down to 2 hours, 3 minutes. So, I'm so joking, but I want to point out something that's really cool, apart from the research. Matthew 26:26-20, and there's something in here that I was a little surprised there, but I want to state first of all, one of the reasons why, if anything else, you don't recall or absorb some of the things I want to point out is that one thing, Jesus sang hymns. Jesus sang with his disciples. Now we forget and don't see this part. I want to read it out very quickly. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." We just did this together as a part of our corporate gathering. Really cool. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, I know, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives and then they went out to pray. Now, there's a few other things that we do as a culture, as a church, as part of us being as one, where we have communion to remember Christ, to remember what makes us unified, to remember what he's done for us that brings us into God's family. There's also prayer. If you want to hear an amazing sermon, Joe spoke last week about prayer. It's really encouraging, and I suggest you go and listen to that when you listen to mine. It's interesting that he sings, but there's studies. People have asked the same question. Just because Jesus sang, they don't always accept that as the fundamental answer to why we should sing in church. And so research for people who are curious and have a mindfulness of wanting to understand this nature have actually explored this, and it's come up with some pretty incredible things that I want to talk about. First of all, singing is known to release endorphins, the feel-good brain chemical that makes you feel uplifted and happy. I'm reading a quote. In addition, scientists have identified a tiny organ in the ear. Oh, sorry, I wrote this as if I have time to say this. But there's other things that actually are, like God designed, that actually allow us to respond to singing on certain frequencies as well. But I'll talk about that in a sec. What is important, though, is that, and I'll just read this with you, studies show that singing for 30 minutes. Now, when someone says studies show, normally people just sort of like go onto Uncle Google and find a little bit of a study show, and that's their whole thing. I've actually got the paper. So those who are nerds who want to see the actual empirical evidence and the researchers themselves and all of their documents and stuff, I have one of them. I have an it. And this is what I've been basing this and also some of the stuff that I'm talking about today. So it's not just Uncle Google. This is an actual paper that I sourced with a bunch of other references as well. I'm so excited about that. Anyway, studies show that singing for 30 minutes with other people releases a considerable amount of oxytocin. This chemical is also released in physical contact and is especially prevalent with nursing mothers and infants. In other words, it's a bonding chemical. Even listening to music together has been found to increase oxytocin levels and allow for greater social cohesion. We live longer and have stronger bonds through music, and this is no accident. I don't know about the live longer. How do you prove that? But aside from that, it brings greater social cohesion. Now, there's some things that I really was really happy and also challenged to accept, in that when we sing together as a congregation, we become unified. And our brain physically releases chemicals that creates a bond, a connection to the people around us. I mean, it's when you see people that you went to a concert with, that whole idea of you saw you too as well, or you saw awesome other band, that you have this oneship, kinship that you share with them, and you talk and bond on a level that others who didn't go don't. It's the same when you sing a happy birthday. You are connecting yourself with the people that you're singing with. When you're singing about your favorite sports something, you are connecting and strengthening the bonds of the people around you. Wartime was another. A lot of the songs that were developed out of war, during the war, were songs that brought people together. Those songs have incredible emotional depth and meaning to those who sing them. Singing unites us. And it doesn't just unite us with things that we're singing because we're here together in this event. But what it does is it intellectually brings us together. We are singing songs and words as one, using our mind, but we are also breathing together. Now, this is really important. This is really important. This is something that I love. The idea that if we are singing God's word is God-breathed, inspired, then we sing the very breath of God. We sing and align ourselves to the very truth of his word. There's something that's incredibly significant with that. Physically, we have a transformation. Physically, we become connected with each other. Mentally, we become one. We breathe at the same time. But it's curious to note that with the studies, 100% of all the people who contributed to the songs and sang together for their studies all benefited from all of these levels of oxytocin, mindset, physical change, bondship, mateship. And ironically, 100% of those who didn't. Now, it challenges me. I used to have a saying when I was a youth. I used to say that I don't sing. My bass is my voice. You know, I can sing it now. It's air bass. I wasn't sure if you could hear the... I should turn it up. Sorry. If you're wondering, that the bass was that instrument over there. I know people will ask and say, you played drums really well today. So I just want to point that out. When we sing together, we form bonds. Now, there's a little overlap to the three different situations, and I'm really conscious of moving on. So there is another time, I'll come back to this, there is another thing that we do together when we sing, another cultural aspect, and this one is in education. Now, it's not McDonald's. McDonald's isn't educational. I just want to point that out, but it's just to represent commercials. The commercialism, consumerism, the way that we actually learn about or convinced that something is good and that we should do something about it is by having a musical repetition of words and music coupled together. I don't know, years ago, some of you may remember this, two or beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. And what is it? If you said that, you got a free chips. Thanks. I was too embarrassed to say it, so I didn't do it because my friends were like, you're not going to say it, are you? No. Commercials, airplane jelly, SPC, baked beans and spaghetti for 100 little human beings. That's probably 1% of you who remember that. That's weird because I'm only 22. You should all remember that. The next thing, what about alphabet? When we sing at school, learning the times tables, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, twinkle, twinkle, little star. We sing in order to learn. Repetition. One of the greatest things when added to music and melody is something that we absorb and remember very quickly. TV shows. Do you know these people? Some of these were like from, what's that, that show that no one watches? Summer Play? You're all talking? Home and Away. It's still on. I'm glad I didn't admit that anyone watches that. Education is one of the really primary factors that we use and we sing. All of us would have sung at some point as a young kid to memorize and absorb information. And the Bible is really clear on this as well, really emphasizes through a couple of scriptures, Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. God, this is really, can I get distracted for a moment? I'm asking for just one person will do. Yeah, thanks. I accidentally highlighted NIV for all of my scriptures that I'm putting in here. And I know some of you are like real scripture nerds. I'm an ESV kind of guy. So I'm really unfamiliar with this and it's driving me insane. I just had to say it. I do get distracted. Ephesians 5:18, 19. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Again, listening to Joe's message last week, he also emphasized something about how significant the Word is. If you're not grounded in the Word, you don't have the foundation for truth. You don't have a foundation for discernment. You don't have a foundation for building and encouraging your faith. God's Word, God's very breath, formed in words that we can carry with us, is such a significant thing to know and absorb and to sing as well. Because just in the same way that we use singing in education to absorb information, we do the same when we're singing words of God. Now, this is something important too. I've actually challenged the song leaders from all campuses to actually look at songs and sing songs that really emphasize the character of God. Really emphasize who he is, what he's done. Because the thing that, and you may have seen this, but there is a shift there where in songs that we sing about, even on the radio, and some who are writing Christian songs, that we sometimes glorify the emotion. We sometimes glorify the heart behind it. I'm singing about how awesome it feels to love God. But the thing is that singing and the emotions that come from it, spoiler alert, are a byproduct of the singing itself. And so singing about God, singing about who he is, singing scripture, like the beautiful old hymns, like the 80s choruses and stuff, and the selection that our song leaders are doing really well and tough, really doing it tough to choose and extract from, are songs that are declaring who Christ is. Because what we want is not just the bondship with each other that brings us into unity. We not only want to learn and absorb who he is and what the word is saying about God, but we also want to have that connection to the words that we are singing. There is a connection to the words that we become one with our minds, with our hearts. And this is a challenge for me. What do you listen to when you're not at church? What kind of music are you really absorbing? Now, I'm not out to condemn and stuff too. My uncle, one time when we were traveling on the train in Sydney, and I was reading some books on fantasy books and stuff. I love fantasy books. And he said, "Derek, I think it's really cool. You're exploring, you're reading, you're really, you know, really getting into, you know, awesome artisans who are writing and doing stuff." But he said, "You need to always balance that. You need to temper that. You need to make sure that it's outweighed with God's voice, God's heart, and the word of God, so that it's always in context." Now, Christian music, I'm a muso. I do struggle with Christian music. Then, you know, it's like if you played the first four chords, you've played them all. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I heard that. It's not true. But I want to encourage you, the words, seek truth and sing and partake and become one with words of people who are declaring and absolutely pronouncing God as center. And if you struggle with that, then counteract it with more word of God, more prayer, more communion, more unity with the folks. Anyway, I listen to mostly jazz, so it's got no words anyway. All right, so our responsibility as a church is to make sure that you're singing songs that are scripture-based, that you're becoming one with the intellectually and mindfully and learning about God's word. Finish that sentence for me. Great. Next one. There is also an emotional response. All right. This is the third of four. There's an emotional. Now, I'm curious. Who sings in the shower? Come on, pump those hands up. I want to see all four of you. Great. Who does drum noises in the shower instead? I'm just with you, Lockie. Anyway, singing in the shower, apparently there's also studies on that. The resonance in an actual cubicle actually hits that organ that I was about to tell you about in our ears that hits a certain frequency, and the resonation in the shower actually sends us a good feel. In fact, it's a reason why we respond to singers who have a good craft, that the organ responds to certain frequencies that give us a bit of a lift. But I want to talk about that in a sec too. Anyway, sing in the shower, and we also sing when we have an emotional, maybe in the car, but there's an emotional response that we often sing too. Who's ever looked for a sad song because you were feeling sad? Who's ever left someplace feeling so angry, you just want to play really angry songs? You want to have this emotional resonance with someone or something that knows and understands what you're feeling and what you're going through. There is an emotional connection to music. In fact, where am I? All right. No, sorry, it's a little bit ahead. I'm jumping ahead. In fact, it's really important to understand that the emotional response is something that we often celebrate in church. And often too, people write about that emotional response, but it's not it and a bit, but it's extremely important. God designed music for us to respond with that resonance that I feel happy, I feel sad, I want to feel that song, I want to lift you up to that point. They're all really important. But there's something about singing. Now, I know what tone deaf sounds like, okay? Now, I'm not listening out for you guys, but I used to have a friend of mine many years ago, and Susan would know who this person is. I won't say it was Steve Johnson. But he used to, like when we were youth, went to youth together, he used to sing in absolute monotone in a bass. And I used to think, wow, I just want to spend some time with you just to encourage you to vary the note a little bit, you know? he's so cool. We actually had the same birthday. And so what I thought, people actually limit themselves to being involved in singing because they don't feel they can sing. Now, there's a really cool professor Check this out. I just want you to read who it's from. Professor John Lennon. What kind of pressure did this guy live under? This is what this guy says. Thinking that singing is only a talent or an art form is a denial of a very basic human need. The need to express emotions in a way that completely satisfies the united body mind of each individual. What's incredible to note is that singing is not something that people can't do. By definition, singing is a sustained note produced by the voice. Just a sustained note produced by the voice. Everyone has the ability to do it. But what we do is we start directing people to the success of melody and music and skill. And often it happens when kids are young. Now, I've got a bit of a research and nerd on creativity, and that as an art teacher, I do art teaching part-time, that I'm really conscious of how do you promote creativity, where you can't teach it, you can inspire it, but you can certainly diminish it by just a few words. And research has shown that most children have an innate reaction, a response to singing. I was in Melbourne Airport just last week, a massive thunderstorm. There's a little 3-year-old with his parents, and he was asking all these amazing questions. The lights flashing, why is the sirens going? Why is that rain, lightning flashing? And he's just asking these questions, and the parents were just calmly and encouraging him to answer or find his own answers and solutions. And then spontaneously, out of nowhere, he started singing. You know, why is that flashing? La, da, 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 da. And why is that guy over there like doing it? It was just some childlike response, some emotional trigger that just happens. It was so beautiful. I am getting ahead of myself. There is a time in the Bible too, Paul and Silas, where they're singing in prison. It's not based on any particular special event. It's not based on any particular moment. What was my other one? Education, because they didn't want to learn. It was just a response to who an awesome God. There was nothing that actually showed any hope or end result where Paul and Silas were expecting something amazing happening. They were singing because there was a heart response. A heart response. An emotional heart, body, soul response to a creator God. Of course, if you read through it, when you read through it, there's an amazing miracle and they get to leave with the salvation of one of the guards. It's a response. What's really important to understand is that singing is a heart response, and there is that emotion that's attached to when we sing. There is a oneness intellectually. There is a resonance as one physically. There is an emotional response that lifts and encourages, and there's an education aspect too. The why we sing, all of these are just research that anyone can do or find from Uncle Google that just clarifies what we do. But there's something that's a little bit beyond that. And that was my introduction. No, I'm only joking. Boy, don't you get that sinking feeling like, oh no, it's going to go forever. There's a response, a heart response. Singing can be is a heart response and an emotional response. This is what this guy says. I think it's a reason why we often use the term worship to describe singing in church. We often associate music and singing as an emotional experience based response to who and to what we're singing about. Worship, by biblical definition, is a heart response to who God is and what he has done through his son Jesus. And singing is the expression of that heart. There's a really cool illustration of worship that Isaiah points out. I'm thinking of time. In the year that King Uzziah died and saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. Isaiah has a picture of the throne room of God. And he sees an image of God in his wonder and his splendor, surrounded by angels. And they're all declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. To the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah's response straight away in seeing God in his purity and his holiness was, I'm not worthy. I am nothing. I have nothing in myself that can even have to approach the glory of God. And then through the account, he's actually been forgiven. He's been given a piece of coal that touches his lips and it makes him clean. And then God calls out, who's available? Who can I send to go and get this stuff done? And Isaiah's response from being made clean is, here I am, send me. His heart trigger is in response to God. Worship is a full response to who God is and what he's done through his son Jesus. And singing is a part of that overwhelming expression, that response, that knee-jerk reaction where we just can't help but feel compelled because of the things that he's separated us from and where he's drawn us into through his son Jesus. It's the most amazing story. We're here because of Christ. We're here in an event. We're sitting, you're hearing my words mostly, you're singing songs or listening to the music. There's many things that we do together that unites us, but the one thing that stands out, the one thing that makes us one, is Jesus Christ. It's the reason why we're here together. His spirit in us. It's important to understand this childlike response. Like that little boy in the airport. It's just a trigger. Just a trigger. And the cool thing about the childlike response is that it's all heart, all curiosity, all adoration. But it can diminish with just a single word. I can't. I won't. I'm not able. I don't feel. I'm not capable. And often when as a little kid, to promote kids to continue having a childlike response, all it takes to diminish their ability to have a childlike response is to say, you can't, you shouldn't, try something else that's maybe not for you. I was a fortunate, very fortunate kid, and I thought it was everyone. But when I was young, my mother would always say, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Just work hard. Work hard at it. You want to be an artist? Work hard at it. You want to be a musician? Work hard at it. There was no limit to whatever it is that I could do. And at the time, we went to church, and everything that I heard was always an affirmation. Christ has done. Christ gives you. Christ has. And so I just kept on having this belief that I can. But the quickest way you can shut down someone, the quickest way you can shut down yourself is to disbelieve. To say no. No, I'm not. I'm not a singer. Neither am I. Because God doesn't listen to my voice, thank goodness. And I will mute this when we get together and sing afterwards. But he does listen to my heart. He's listening to your heart. He's listening to your response. All of the other things that I've talked about are physical, mental abilities that are actually brought together in events through education and through an emotional response. But you don't need to be at church to do that. What sets us apart, and the reason why we sing together, is not because we want to get those benefits. They're byproducts of responding to a Savior God. We're responding to a God that saved us and separates us from sin. My goodness. We are singing in response to a holy and loving Savior God. And there's one thing that, again, it challenges me when I see this. Are you feeling disconnected? Are you here today looking around and just thinking, hey, I'm in this crowd, but I just don't feel one with everyone? Are you sitting here thinking, I'm here on a time limit. I don't know if I can be here much longer because I don't feel connected. And this is just one thing that we do that brings connection together. And it's something that I want to encourage you and myself to do, and that is to sing together. Mentally, one heart, one mind, strength, all of these benefits, but the fact is the thing that's going to connect you more to the people around you is, one, taking a step forward and participating. And one of the simplest things that we can do that connects us together is singing. I don't know, as a guy, it's not something that I volunteer and do. But it will start revealing who it is that you're connected through. One thing too, I mean, I didn't point this out, but the culture has many, many things that are always speaking to us. A bunch of noise. When I came back from PNG a couple of years ago, I was overwhelmed by the amount of things that were invading my head. You know, the sound and the noise of culture was just so over, and I couldn't hear that still small voice of when I was in PNG. God's voice was like a bell. Clean, clear. When he spoke, I responded. But in our culture, with phones and TV, YouTube, each other, music, family, all sorts of things create so much noise. When we sing together, we start eroding the noise. And we start aligning ourselves as one so that we do start hearing that bell-like clarity of God's word. But only when you participate. Sing bad, sing loud, sing proud. Because God is listening for this. God is listening for this. The reason why we have skilled musicians and singers is so that we can provide a foundation so they become invisible, well, visible aspect of Christ revealing himself, but to give you a platform so you can sing and partake and be one with all of us because Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Have you lost your childlike adoration? Are you curious? Do you want to find out more about God? Do you read your word? Do you pray? If you're feeling disconnected, is it perhaps because some of these things are not as prevalent in your life? My devotion yesterday was really cool. It was asking the question, are you falling asleep? When you're really tired and you're driving home, and you know that feeling where you just got to concentrate, but you're so tired. And it just, if I close my eyes just for a little bit, just a little bit while I'm driving, I'll feel more relaxed. Before you know it, you're off the road and in trouble. Are you falling asleep? Are you feeling lethargic? Read God's word. Pray. He gives you the energy. He gives you the energy. You sing. When you sing, you walk a God-designed pathway. All this science research is just man evidence for God's plan and design anyway. So it's kind of cool that it affirms it. I want to encourage one last thing as I close. And actually, can I ask the musicians to come up? I want to encourage you with our Unsunday, our Us night that's coming up. It's an extended night of songs, of adoration, of music. And it's significant because of all the things that I'm talking about. But it's all about glorifying God. It's all about that proactive step forward and engage. And I don't sound good, God, but hear my heart. It's all about the response, heart response to Jesus Christ. The songs will be tailored to glorify him. There will be an emotional response, hopefully, from older songs. But the idea is participation. Step out. If you're feeling disconnected, I encourage you to come to this night. I'm going to pray and I'm going to sing together. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word. I definitely pray that there was enough clarity that people would absorb from you. And that being uncomfortable to sing, God, I pray that it's just a small thing to the uncomfort that you went through to pay for our sin, God. Jesus, you are the center. You are the reason. You're who we respond to. And God, I pray that as we practice now, that we get a chance to respond from the heart. Hear our hearts, God. This is for you. This is all about you for what you've done. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you feel God has spoken to you through this series, or if you have any prayer requests, please email us through our website, hopecentral.org.au.